coming to the end of this thing. Ephesians chapter 6. Anybody need a worksheet? Did I get a worksheet? Everybody have a worksheet? Need one down? Okay, you're okay? All right, very good, sir. Anybody else need a worksheet? Slip your hand up. All righty. A couple over there, Mr. Shaw, on the far side, too. Ladies on the far side there. Oh, one over here. John, you have any more left, or Sean have them all? Okay, one over here. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. And we've been doing the armor of the Lord. And, of course, this is the end of Ephesians. Ephesians talking about the church, taking church folks from all over the world, putting them together, making one body, one unified body of Christ, not the body fighting against itself. Can you imagine? Did you ever see one of those guys who are bullies and they take your hand and, why are you hitting yourself, you know? And wouldn't that be a terrible thing if our body actually kind of does that kind of thing? And, you know, so it's dysfunctional. It's not functioning correctly. A lot of churches can be like that if we're not careful. The body of Christ can get dysfunctional. All of a sudden it's fighting one against the other. We forget we're on the same team. If I hurt you, I hurt me. You hurt me, you hurt you. You know, you hurt the church or hurt the church for the kids' sake. You know, we don't go down alone. When we do some things, we decide, well, I'm just not gonna, it affects the whole body. And so we've got to be ready for that. Now, because of that, the old devil wants to do everything he can to short circuit stuff. If he can short circuit it so it doesn't work, then he can make it so it doesn't function. We will fail in what our purpose is. And so he wants to do that. How does he make it dysfunction? Well, he makes it dysfunction by getting one part of it, short circuiting with another part of it, and get some sparks flying. Get some issues going. Get us fighting one another. Get us get selfish, get a little greedy, get a little proud, and all those kind of things. He's subtle. He walks around, he accompanies us. That word wiles of the devil, he accompanies us and just kind of walks around and whispers in your ears, don't let them get away with that. Well, you know better than that. Well, you shouldn't let them do that. Well, you ought to be doing that. Not all kinds of little stupid things. Now, it's not just that, but a lot of things he can do just to try to keep us from doing what we need to do. Now, to fight him, we have an adversary, our devil, the old devil, and he walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith. That means keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. The problem, so that's really what the armor of God is. It's to protect us from having ourselves short-circuited, from having him coming in and getting inside of our heart and twisting the truth and getting us out of sorts with one another so that we cannot function as we're supposed to function. So really, it's not the person that is poking at us, is pushing our buttons, that's really the enemy. The enemy is the one who's pushing their buttons, and pushing your buttons. And then you get mad and you push their buttons, and they push their buttons, and they push your buttons. You know what I'm saying? And before long, we get a cycle going on, and everything goes down the tubes, and the fact that we were supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature goes right out the door because we're too busy fighting one another. We bite and devour one another, we'll destroy one another, eat each other alive, and he loves that. Old devil just loves that because it keeps everything. Well, in fact, all he has to do is sit back and watch, and we do all the work. He just has to get the thing started up and let it roll. Now, in this process here, we have these pieces of armor. And they're protecting our hearts. They're protecting our minds. They're protecting what we do. They're protecting our so that our hurts are not poked as we have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. We can have a peace that passes understanding because God says, I can work in your life. And we have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. You can't lie to me and have me fall for it if I know the word of God. Everything you're throwing at me, I can slice it right up if I know the word of God. Doesn't mean anything. It has no effect. And so we have to be willing to take these. Now, wait a minute. We cannot do that on our own. It's not within us. Why? It's not within us to forgive like God forgives. It's not within us to love like God loves. Love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Well, why do you need to love? Because they're not always lovely. If you liked them, you wouldn't need to love them. You've heard all these sayings. Put them all back in your mind here. And so what do we need to do? We need to rely on God to do this through us. Prayer and supplication. God, let me be what you needed me to be. Listen, I pray all week that I will be what you need me to be on Sunday. Now, I'm not saying I'm on my knees all the time, just, you know, doing nothing but that. Of course not. But the fact is, we never hang up. You never hang up. You're praying without ceasing. Then, Lord, lead me, direct me. I got to start thinking now what I'm going to preach to these people. And sometimes it's like I know what scripture it is, but I'm not sure what he wants to say. But all I got to do at this point is just make sure I know what the scripture says. And it's amazing how, again, you say, well, why do you wait till Saturday night to finish my message? You ask him. Because I learned the part. I'm learning the scripture. I'm learning the verses. And I want to make sure I understand what it's saying. And sometimes, listen, not all the time, but sometimes he puts it together about 10:30 on Sunday morning. It's like, it happens a lot of times in a shower on Sunday morning. I'll come out, I'll get out of the shower, and I said, don't talk. I go over and I got to write it down because I'll forget it, right on out of my mind. I said, I got to get quick showers before I forget this. Some of the best points come in the shower on Sunday morning. All I'm saying is we've got to rely on him. We need to know what he wants us to do and then allow him to be used, allow us to be used through him. Let's read our scripture here, Ephesians chapter 6, and I know we've read this before, but the fact is you're going to know this well enough to preach it to your kids. Verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How are we going to do that? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, he's repeating the whole, like verse 11, he goes back to verse 11 thought, wherefore, take unto you, receive as a gift, take it, unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then he's going to, almost like it's a parenthetical statement, like in parentheses there, he's going to explain to you what the armor is. He says, now you need to have the armor on. And let me explain what the armor on is, and then he's going to move on forward. So he says in verse 14, therefore, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You've got to have truth. The loins is your strength. Your truth is your strength. You've got to know the Word of God, or they can get you right off. You've got to know the Word of God. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You live righteously, and it will spare your heart. It will spare your vital organs. You won't die. There's too many people go down in flames because they simply went in the wrong place. They simply got out into unrighteousness, doing as they please. They wonder why they go down in flames. You keep yourself out of sin. The wages of sin is... The wages of righteousness isn't death. Righteousness brings life. And so he says, listen, put a breastplate of righteousness that keeps out of trouble. You have a lot of, that'll save you a lot of problems. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, when you see people, folks, the way they dressed during the first century and so forth, you usually don't see them in cowboy boots. Or mucklucks, or all this, you know what I mean? They have sandals on. In other words, they wanted something to strap on their feet that covered the bottom of the feet to protect them from whatever's out there that they're going to walk on in the path as they go. You don't know what you're going to come across. Just because, listen, when you go out in the morning, you don't know you're going to walk across a nail. You don't know you're going to walk across glass. You don't know what the donkey left over. He went as he was going through. You don't know what you're going to come into. So what you do, you put your shoes on so you're ready to face what the day throws at you. And that's what you need for your peace. You see, we got to have the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. We got to have a peace that passes understanding. We've got to meet the day in peace before we ever go out the door. In fact, some of us have to meet the day in peace before we get out of bed because we're afraid what's going to happen when we get downstairs at the kitchen table. Listen, you got to have a gospel of peace. If you get the peace settled in your heart, you can face what the Lord throws at you. You can face what's going to be in the path. Verse 16, above all, on top of everything, all important, taking the shield of faith. The word shield is like the word door. It's a door. It's a whole wall, so to speak. That shield of faith. Be honest with me. Listen, no matter what you throw at me, if it doesn't go with the word of God, which is my truth, then I'm just going to trust God, even if I don't understand the issue. I don't know, but God's going to take care of it. Well, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how we're going to get these lights fixed. I really don't. I'm going to have to do some work on this here this week. But the Lord is, you know, the truth is, we're going to get the Lord and see what happens. But it's all okay. No sense of falling apart. Whatever's going to happen, the shield of faith, all it's kind of a catch-all. And it says it's able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Listen, watch what goes in. Listen, we're saved. Don't let anybody steal that from you. Don't let them mess with your mind. Your God's, keep it there. The helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our sword of the Spirit is only as strong as effective as our faith and our reliance is in the Word of God. And we don't really believe the Word of God. We'll most likely not use the Word of God in our hearts, and thus the sword has very little effect on the weapons of the adversary. Watch, just quoting the Word of God will not do the job. That is like laying the sword on the table for us to look at and admire. You've got to pick that baby up and start swinging it. We have to do more than admire the Word of God. We actually have to use the Word of God in faith. The battle is against, watch, the battle that's going on is against our spirit. And God fights that battle within our spirits. Only the Word of God can win the battle within our spirits, down in deep. Not only must these articles of armor be put on in faith, they are held in place by faith. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. Now watch me. True prayer is the act of placing our faith in God and placing our need into God's hands. Prayer is a natural expression of our utter dependence upon God. If you really believe God is what it's going to take to make this work, then you're going to ask Him. If you don't bother to ask Him, you think you can do this on your own. We're going to be in trouble. So that's why it says in verse 18 then, after the whole thing, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He says, listen, put on the whole armor of God, but listen, praying always. Now, look at your scripture real quick here. Let's go back to the top of verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How's that? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the fact is, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of who we're fighting, where our battle is, because of that, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, verses 14 through 17 is in a parentheses, if you will. That's telling you what the specific pieces of armor are. We just went through that. So really, watch this. If you go from 13 to 18, for 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He says, put on the armor of God, and then praying always. Praying as you're putting it on. Praying as you have it on. Praying as the day goes on. Praying always with all prayer. Put it on. What is that? Total reliance on God Himself. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about putting on the whole armor with prayer. Put on the whole armor with prayer. Father, thank you again for your word. Speak to our hearts here this evening. And Lord, help us to learn to do this. There's so many casualties. There's so many people that were partially armored. There are a lot of folks, though, who have kind of put on all the formality of the armor. All they carry, their Bible, they talk about faith. You know, they know how to say the right words, and they run here and there, but the fact is they're still trying to do it on their own. They're even trying to live righteously on their own. Say, look where I am, and Lord, without you, it's all in vain. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand our constant reliance on you. Even having put on the whole armor, we must put it on in prayer and keep it on in prayer. Father, speak to our hearts here this evening. Lord, we need you. In Christ's name, amen. Look at our verse here. Go back to verse 18. I want to walk through this passage. You've seen the others. We've been through all this. Look at verse 18 of our passage here. He says, praying always, you see it on your page there, praying always with all prayer. That first word, praying, is different than the other word, prayer. It's real close, but as far as the word, it's real close, but there's a little bit of different connotation through it. Literally, the word praying the first time is I hate to use this term, but it's hard to express the other way, wishing. Now, it's not wish, starlight, star bright, first star, see the night. I'm not talking about that. But it is saying what I desire, what I'd like to see. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if it's wishing, but it's praying, it's expressing your needs or your wants toward God. I remember thinking, Lord, being 18 years old, I want a good wife. That'd be really nice. I could not see myself living alone, living a single life. I just could not see it. I just couldn't imagine not having a wife and some kids, and I just really couldn't imagine. But I wasn't finding a gal that I felt like I was supposed to be married to, and I decided, well, it's better to live in the corner of the rooftop than a brawling house with a brawling woman in a white house, as the Bible says, and so it's better to have none than the wrong one, and I understand that, but I really wanted one. I didn't know what the will of God was, but I really wanted a good wife. And there's nothing wrong with praying that way. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's not good for a man to be alone. Men? Amen. It's not good. Not certainly not good for me. So it says praying, watch, always. Look at it with me. Through every occasion. Now, I understand that, you don't necessarily have to pray where you're going to have lunch. But you know what? If God, I'm going to do a message the first part of the year here, probably the first Sunday of next year. I've been playing about this out of Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything. I thought you were going to preach my message the other day when you pulled that open last Sunday night. But there's a time for everything. And a lot of people use the word of God and they draw lines where there are no lines to be drawn. But, you say, well, it's kind of funny to pray where you're going to eat lunch. But you know what? If God impresses upon you, I'm serious, to pray where you ought to eat lunch, well, then pray where you ought to eat lunch. I'm just serious. You just don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. So I went there and nothing happened. You remember years, we were coming home from, I think it was an Awana thing, and we stopped at the Burger King down here on 140 in Maryland. And we went in and had dinner. And we all sat down. And of course, we just have a quick burger. And everybody goes and gets their own drinks, And so we sat down. And the family was there. And we prayed. We prayed grace on it. And then we said, okay, all right, break. And you go get your drinks. And you do this and do this. And we'll sit down and have dinner. Well, we were eating dinner. And this lady came over to me. And she looked at me, and she says, aren't you an assistant pastor at Church Open Door down the street here? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. Is that right? Well, I would think you would know better. Pardon? You all didn't even pray before you ate. I said, yes, ma'am. Oh, no, I was watching. And I want to say, well, go get your eyes checked. But I didn't. I said, well, ma'am, I know what it's like. We have a bunch of kids and we're going to eat. It's better while you got them all in one place. That's the time to pray. And then break and see what happens. So I said, we actually prayed before we went to get the rest of our meal. And then we said, well, I didn't see you pray. Now, watch. That was kind of a negative type side of there. But my point is this. You don't know who's watching. My son-in-law laughs. He says, we don't go anywhere that you don't know somebody. We took the staff out to Janet and I took the staff over to Dobbin House in Gettysburg. I don't know if we've ever been there. It's all kind of old school type thing there. And have a nice dinner. We had a room to our own. And we walked in there. And all of a sudden, people I knew started going through the hallway. It turned out the whole staff from Open Door were having their dinner upstairs. And another family I knew was in this place. And I said something. I talked to this lady and this couple. And I asked the waitress, where's the other church group? I want to go say hi. She says, you've been talking to everybody in this place. here's my point. You just don't know when you need to pray. God says pray, pray. He may tell you to go down here because there's somebody that needs a word of encouragement. Maybe they just need to know, just need to see a good family. Maybe they just need to see somebody bow their head and pray. And have a little encouragement. I can't tell you how many folks, people come up. Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah, why do you know? Well, you pray before you start eating. You don't know. But praying with all prayer, watch. Praying always, through every occasion, with all prayer. With constantly relying on the instrumentality of prayer. Now, that second word, prayer, means every word spoken. With every word you speak. It should be done in a way that's prayerful. And it says supplication. That means to beg, petition, request. It is the heart participation in prayer. Supplication is more than just saying the words. God is good. God is great. Thank you for this food we just ate. It's more than just the words. Prayer is supplication. It's your heart's desire, your wish. Listen, there's nothing wrong with going to your daddy and saying, you know what would be really nice if we could. And your Abba Father wants to hear you. Now, if we will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He'll give us all our needs. And we should ask for it. Give us this day our daily bread. But He doesn't have a problem giving us some of our wants if they're not going to hurt us. Now, we're walking around with our hand out all the time. Everybody gets a little tired of that. If that's all He is a big Santa Claus in the sky, you're looking for Him to give you handouts. He says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Through the instrumentality of the Spirit. Your spirit bearing witness with God's spirit, His spirit talking to your spirit. By the way, you might have to get quiet. You might need to go in your closet alone. You might need to turn off the radio and the TV. There may be some times you may just want to go take a walk in the woods even without your gun or your fishing pole. And just spend a little time with Him. He says, listen, when the Spirit watch, and watching thereunto with perseverance. Watching, that means without falling asleep on the job. This is important. And then it says, with all perseverance, constant earnestness toward it, persistency, perseverance. I'm going to pray, I'm going to keep praying. But then it says again, with all perseverance and supplication. What's He doing? Put the heart in there. It's not vain repetition. Hail Mary, full of grace. That's not what He's talking about. And the fact is, we Baptists can be just as guilty. We run through these things, and all of a sudden we roll into a set of words. He says, listen, watch, He says, thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, watch, for all saints. Saints are saved people. And then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What's he saying? Even the Apostle Paul needs your prayers. Paul needed their prayers. I need your prayers. The person next to you needs their prayers. What's he saying? Listen, we have a body of Christ. And we need to put on the armor of God so the devil doesn't get in there and short-circuit this body by getting us fighting and fuming and messing up between us. In the meantime, it's not just about saying, well, I didn't yell at her. Well, I was fine. You know what she did, but I didn't do a thing. Well, did you pray for her? You know, the next time you find one of your church members, one of the friends, or maybe somebody you don't even like isn't doing something quite right, instead of telling somebody else about it, tell him about it. And you know what happens? I think what will happen if you start telling him about it, you won't start saying, well, do you see what the pastor did? I don't think we're going to have the nerve to do that. I think what we're going to say is, pastor needs your help. There's some things going on. He needs your help. That person over there, he had a little problem, or she has a little issue, and nor would you help her? Would you take care of her? Would you guide her in some things? It's a whole different perspective. It's like I said, the sword of the Spirit is not about chopping each other to pieces, beating each other up. It's about taking the words of Satan and saying, it doesn't mean a thing. Well, so you're not going to be able to straighten her out if you don't just tell her off. Well, you tell her off, that's not going to do a whole lot of good. Grievous words still stir up anger, but soft answer still turns away wrath. I'm not saying you don't need to sometimes sit down and chat and say, is there something I can help you with? But even then, be careful. Offer yourself. Be a friend to. Be an encouragement to. That's a whole lot easier to swallow than coming to him and saying, well, I'm going to tell you a thing or two. Did you know? Let me give you number one. You see, we're almost done. I know that's funny. Number one, praying with all prayer. Praying with all prayer. In other words, the praying is the wishing, the expressing of the needs with all prayer, with every word. So we're expressing with all prayer. Watch, this is, letter A, this is the spirit of prayer along with the act of prayer. The spirit of prayer along with the act of prayer. You may have the spirit of prayer and never actually put that prayer into action and call on the Lord. I think there's some people who just kind of expect God to read their mind. Well, he knows I need that. Well, he knows. You know what the problem is there? You're too proud to ask. There are some people that think, well, if he's going to fix it, he should have just gone ahead and fixed it. He knows it all. He has always known it all. And you know what the problem is? You think you know it all. What's wrong with actually humbling ourselves before God and say, Lord, I think I know what I'm supposed to do even. Lord, I want to know what you think I should do. Shower this morning. Success in prayer has much more to do with the purpose and passion than it has to do with the performance and personality. Success in prayer has much more to do with the purpose and the passion of the prayer than it has to do with the performance and the personality of prayer. God would much rather hear us say, I don't know. But if you whatever you want, I'll do it. Then having us come, okay, now, Lord, here's exactly what I need. Got a list of things here I need to have attended to this week. Well, number one, Now, on the other hand, you got a prayer list. I got this person, Lord. They need you. They need your list. And here's a need. The church's going to have to make some decisions here. And so I want you. There's nothing wrong with saying the laying it out. In fact, you ought to have specific prayers. But it's not about simply laying out a bunch of stuff. Okay, God, and you take care of that. It's the purpose and the passion. We may call on the Lord incessantly and still not have a spirit and a heart for prayer and see no results. So we may have a spirit of prayer and never actually call, or we may be calling and on and on and on and on, but we don't have the spirit of prayer. Praying with all prayer. It's the heart, it's the act. Number two, it says praying always with all prayer. Always, letter A, all prayer. Always with all prayer. Letter A, all prayer. That refers to the different kinds of prayer that's performed, whether it's in public, whether it's in the family, whether it's in the closet, whether it's on the business, on the way. The heart, listen, the heart without a voice and the voice from the heart. Listen, all prayer, praying always with all prayer, wherever we are, in whatever the need is, whether it's a big need or a little need. Lord, I need to have the... That's how you put the armor on. Listen, the gospel of peace is not just slapped on there. Why do you have peace? Because the Lord's at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. He's right there. Why? How can I have the shield of faith? Because the Lord is right here. I don't know what He's doing, but Lord, it's in your hands. The breastplate of righteousness. Guide me where I'm supposed to be today, Lord. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Don't let me get myself stuck in some place I shouldn't be. Let me be sensitive. And Lord, if somebody comes at me with some things I shouldn't be into, Lord, get my ears. My ears are perked up. You just tell me, I'll walk right out of this thing. I'm not going to go there. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, listen, you start wielding the word of God, that's the double-edged sword there. You better make sure He's telling you how and where to poke. Praying always. Every prayer should be real and heartfelt. God never intended prayer, watch, to be ceremonial or perfunctory. I'm going to say something here. And we've all probably been guilty of this from some time or the other. If you ever prayed in public or whatever, or with somebody else in front of somebody else. Remember, it's passion and the purpose, not the performance and the personality. When you pray, whether there's anybody else next to you or not, remember who it is that you're actually talking to. You're not talking to that person that's listening ear in on your conversation with God. When you pray and you're praying in public, you're praying with somebody, you're letting them in on a conversation between you and God. Now, sometimes we get in the midst of these things and you're gonna start seeing my fallacies and my falsehoods and my feet of clay, because we all kind of get it. Sometimes by the time I get to the pulpit, I've already done the rehearsals and this and that and the Sunday school, and I got so many things in my mind, and I've talked to 15 people, and sometimes it is hard and we get in something we shouldn't get into. But the fact is, sometimes, and I'm not being mean, and maybe it's okay, maybe that's good between them and the Lord, and that's fine, but it's not good with me. Pray to God like they're preaching. If we were in the Holy of Holies and Jesus Christ was on that throne, I just don't think as now, God, I've been thinking about what we learned. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just thinking, Lord, I want to do this, I want to do this, and this and this and this and this. So if it's all good with you, that's how we're going to do it. Don't forget who you're talking to. You say, well, they don't sound very fancy. That's okay. Won't sound very professional. Well, we're not supposed to be professional Christians. You know what a professional Christian is? It's somebody that has to get paid for doing what everybody else will do for free. Letter B, always praying. Praying always, all prayer. Now, letter A. Letter B, always praying. Simply, we should never hang up on the line between our hearts and God. Never hang up. Let's keep moving. Number three, I want you to see two necessities of prayer. Two necessities.
It's the bare necessities, simple.
The two necessities of prayer. Letter A, it should be constant and continuous. Constant and continuous. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. So we're to pray without ceasing in all occasions for all things. Well, what is prayer? It's utter dependence upon God. It's saying, Lord, you're the one that's going to get me there and get me back. You're the one who's going to tell me what to do here, what to tell me to do here. Now, fact is, don't be silly and wait for God to give you some crazy revelation.
Well, I didn't hear anything, so I just here I am.
You know, you've heard the old story. Big flood came through. And it was going to get bad, and the guy came, and the police came along, and they knocked on the guy's door, and said, he came to the door, sir, the flood's coming, it's coming, it's rising so fast, you've got to get in, we've got a Humvee right over here, just get in, get anything you have to get in here, we'll get you out of here before it's a problem. Oh, no, Lord's going to take care of me. 2 hours later, a boat comes by. They come in and they knock on the upper window. Sir, you've got to get out now. You're going to get washed away. Oh, no. I prayed. The Lord's going to take care of me. Hour and a half later, the helicopter comes by and he's on the roof. Get in. Grab the rope. We'll get you out of here. Come on. This is going to be awful. Get the rope. Grab the rope. Get out of here. Oh, no. The Lord's going to take care of me. Hour later, he's at the throne in heaven. And he says, Lord, I've been praying. I told everybody I was praying. Why didn't you protect me? He says, well, I sent you a Humvee and a boat and a helicopter. What more did you want? You know, let's not get hard-headed about this. The Lord takes care of us. Letter A, constant and continuous. Pray without ceasing. Watch. If we're not, and I know you're not going to pray, should I eat this next spoonful of, you know, I understand that. But if we're not praying really constantly, without ceasing, we apparently feel we can do some things on our own without the aid of God. So where do you draw that line at? That means most likely our prayer is not an expression of utter dependence upon God anyway. Letter B. We're supposed to be watching. That means without sleep. Now, really, the next three I'm going to give you actually should have been probably over one. The two necessities. One is constant and continuous. And along with that continuous idea, we need to be watching without sleep. We should never stop the prayer. Satan should never be given space to step in control. Don't give him a way to get in edgewise, you know. You ever talk to some folks and you can't get a word in edgewise, you know? Don't give devil a spot to get in anywhere. You're so busy giving it to him. Giving it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Constant. Not sleeping on the job. Letter C. With all perseverance. We talked about it. Persistence. Number two, having a constant earnestness toward the Lord, toward the prayer. Earnestness. Perseverance. Listen, when you persevere in prayer, all right, that's another. I'm not talking about vain repetition. I'm talking to hanging on to the horns of the altar until God gives the answer. John Erice, you've heard me say this. He said, you pray until God gives the answer or changes your prayer. Lord, give me a Cadillac. Lord, give me a Cadillac. Lord, give me a Cadillac. Lord, give me a Vega. Lord, give me, you know, maybe that's all I need to get where I need to go. You know, but we didn't make those things anymore. I just went back about 30 years, didn't I? Kids don't even know what a Vega is, do you? Okay. Anyway, but anyway, that's all right. You don't need to know. But Lord, in fact, what she had when we got married was just a glorified, it was a Pontiac version of a Vega, wasn't it? That Astra, whatever it was. Anyway, perseverance. Number four down there. All persistence. With all persistence. Keep your heart in the matter. It's a top priority. With all persistence. Perseverance. Letter D. We're supposed to be praying with watching, with perseverance. Letter D. For all saints. Who are they? Fellow Christians. Fellow Christians. We all need this. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for your fellow body members? The other members of the body of Christ. Do you or do you complain about them? You know, when you complain about them, you're basically saying, well, they're hopeless. No sense going to God in prayer about them because that's the way it's always going to be. Now, there's times when we have a staff meeting and there's an issue. We got to say, okay, no, how we're going to work with this. We pray for them. We think about how we're going to deal with it and so forth. You know, I understand that happens. But when we really don't have any authority and all we do is go around complaining about this person and that person, well, they should have done this and they didn't do this. And isn't that awful? And they're making my life difficult. And I can't believe they... We're supposed to be praying for all the saints. They're all part of the body. You're supposed to pray for the saints you like and the ones you don't like. The saints you respect and the ones you don't respect. The saints you know as well as the new ones that you don't know yet, don't know very well. The fact is, they're part of the body of Christ. We might as well get used to it. That one that's old and worn out that's still hanging around, pray for that one too. We're all part of the body of Christ for all the saints. So two necessities, letter A, constant and continuous, and there's B, C, and D actually should have been over one. And letter E, the other necessity is in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Our prayers, number one, should be directed by the Spirit so we know what to pray for. I know it says, you didn't say pray with all prayer. Didn't you say that prayer means wishes? Yes. And Jesus says if you wish what God wishes, you'll get your prayer answered. You know the will of God? Pray in the will of God. Well, how are you going to know the will of God? Well, look at this verse. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, praying is not a whimsical activity. We are asking God for specific needs. We have the privilege to go boldly to the throne of grace. So help me, and it's probably because I've done this myself. We pray a few prayers, we mention a few times, and then we go ahead and do what we were going to do anyway. Well, I didn't know what to do. Well, then maybe you're not supposed to do anything yet. Maybe we're supposed to keep our grimy fingers off of the deal. Listen, we were sitting in deacons meeting one night, And we had dealt with something a few weeks before, well, the month or so earlier, in fact, 2 months, like two different meetings before, and we were talking about something. And we just couldn't come to a conclusion, didn't really think about it much. It just wasn't working right. And then between that time and the next time we had a deacon's meeting, something came to light. And it was like, man, the Lord spared us from one there. Boy, he pulled our feet out of the fire on that one. You don't have the smartest preacher in town. Maybe the best looking. But not the smartest one. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. No. You don't have the smartest preacher in town. But I tell you this, I do my very best to make sure that everything we do around here goes across his desk up there. I can't tell you how many times it just kind of works out. I've told some of you heard this story. I know God works in people's lives in different ways, in different hearts in different ways. Not everybody is the same. Every preacher is not the same. We don't have the same talents. Don't expect that person, well, they don't have my talents, they shouldn't be doing this. They're all different. In fact, he uses the weak things to confound the wise, you know? And so anyway, that's how I knew I was a good candidate to be a preacher, because he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. But anyway, Curtis Hudson used to tell a story. You've heard me say this story before, but I got to say it again. I like it anyway, because he was preaching down at Gospelite Baptist Church down in Winston-Salem, well, it's Walkertown, and he was waxing well elegant, you know, and Brother Bobby was sitting there, and his son Steve Robertson, who was co-pastor at the time, was sitting there next to him. And he says, you know, when Brother Bobby came here, he could see this building coming up. And he could see that ball field out there. And he could see that second building, that building. And when Brother Bobby, he could see this building coming. And his son Steve looked over his daddy and says, and he always called him daddy. He's in down south, daddy. He said, daddy, did you see all that? And Brother Bobby says, boy, I didn't see nothing. That's just the way old brother Bobby is. I didn't see nothing. I just did what he told me to do. Now, fact is, 3,500 people on a Sunday morning and a church that still feels like home is pretty good. Not bad. The armor is necessary to stand against the wiles of the devil. We put on the armor of God so we will not be destroyed by the subtle attacks of Satan. The armor is worthless unless it's put on with total reliance in the power of God to give the armor its strength. The total reliance upon God to give our armor the strength and temper that it needs to sustain and strengthen us is applied by prayer. The armor is only as strong as our faith is in God. And the more faith in God, the more prayer to God. Now the flesh uses the armor to attack others. The Spirit uses the armor to attack the wiles of the devil. We tend to attack others and pray for ourselves. We need to pray for others, and God will strengthen their armor so they will be able to do what they have to do, what they're called to do. And because we're all part of the same body, whether we like it or not, if one part of the body fails or even falls, the whole body is harmed. So let's just put on the whole armor of God with prayer. Father, again, thank you for your blessings here tonight. Thank you for the truths. Lord, the Christian life really isn't all that difficult. We just need to do right and do what you tell us to do in faith in you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.